I'd love to talk about the power of creating your own work when the industry isn't calling, when the industry is calling, because I feel like you wrote the book on this.
Don't wait for permission, just go make stuff. There's a vulnerability in that, like, I hope people like this and it goes well. But again, the special sauce with Tidal Show was, you know, Susan Blackwell always said, like, I knew I was in a room with my friends. I didn't know the friends was an elevator kind of going up to new adventures and opportunities.
The Working Actor NYC, that's Hunter Bell.
That's Benjamin Howes.
This episode of The Working Actor NYC may contain profanity and some adult concepts, so please use your discretion.
I realized the other day that it's coming on 19 years that we have known each other.
That's wild.
Crazy pants.
Insert joke about how I met you when I was 3. And now we wear glasses and hats.
I'm wearing a hat because the next show I'm about to do, they're making me grow my hair out. And I hate it when they ask that.
Just long. It's like,
it just looks terrible. Just a giant comb over my bald spot.
Is it 19 years? 19 years I've been.
I figured it was 19 years because 2006 is when we did Title of Show, when I joined the Title of Show gang at the Vineyard Theater. Is that true? 2006.
Yeah.
2006, when we did the commercial run.
Off-Broadway, commercial run. Can I brag on you for a second? Listeners, close your ears. Want to say this about Benjamin Howes. You gave one of the best auditions I have seen when you came in a room. I'm not even joking. Like, it was, for all those actor listeners listening, it was a testicle to just your full coming in as your full authentic self, and you were just so you and so talented, check plus, but just like grounded and human being. I never forget it, and I'm grateful you came in and that we get to
know each other. I'm astounded that you can remember that. To add to the story a little bit, for all you struggling actors out there, that was an EPA that I went to. I did not have an agent at the time. You had asked for a comic, 16 bars of a comic song or something like that. Something impossible. EPAs are a nightmare. But like something, you know, short and funny.
You sang from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, am I right?
I sang from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Yeah. That man can write funny music. And it led meeting you guys and, I don't know, my first Broadway show.
Broadway, baby. Broadway, the Lyceum Theater. What a crazy riding adventure we had.
Hunter Bell to a Tony nomination.
I know. Can we? There's the
Wait, it, where is there. It? Is that it up there? Oh my God. What's that on the wall, Hunter?
What? Just why would you bring that up? I know. I'm super proud of it. It was an amazing ride. And I share it with all of us. I really do.
Well, this episode, I'd love to talk more about the power of creating your own work when the industry isn't calling, when the industry is calling. Just the power of creating your own work. Because I feel like you wrote the book on this. Take me back to those heady days of 2006 and before. You were mainly performing, or were you always writing and creating?
I was mainly performing. I was also packing book boxes as a day job. Shout out to BookSmart. It was an incredible place. We were surrounded by books and we put on show tunes and dance around A Boy from Oz and sing. And I would write Title Show there at night. So thank you for the printer paper and computer and internet. And I invited them all to opening night on Broadway. So I was writing and making stuff. I had met Jeff Bowen on a production of, we were actors on a production of Good News. We called it Winterstock because it was at a credible theater in Virginia, but it was like a 3-week gig, summer stock gig in January, February, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Commonwealth Theater. And we met there and then continued the friendship and started kind of making stuff. And Jeff knew Susan Blackwell. And so I was acting and trying to book acting gigs, and I was really inspired by Susan Blackwell was making a lot of stuff. And kind of when I met her, I was like, wait, you can make your own things in between acting jobs. I came from went to Webster University Conservatory, great training program. But I think, you know, a lot in that conservatory, maybe it's changed a lot too, is your days are full, happily so, with a structure kind of thing. And I have a BFA in music theater. And I always loved writing. I wrote stuff when I was a kid and loved making my own stuff, but didn't kind of self-identify as a writer always.
Just because it's a very hot topic on TikTok right now is the whole BFA music theater thing. And my contribution is that I would love that at some point during that 4-year period, I would love for students to have to create their own work just to get into a bit of a mindset of generating material for themselves, whatever the format, whether that's theater, film, TV, social media, short form content. I'm like, whatever the format. Did Webster do that for you?
We did a little bit. I remember we had like a thing, we had a directing class, and then I remember somebody's class. I think they do a lot more devised theater. There's a teacher there, and I believe I met, it's been a hot minute since I was a student there, but Jeff Ottawa is there and like doing a lot of devised work, they call it, which I love seeing because I would have been all over that. And I remember there was a piece, I haven't thought about this in a while, like you could bring in a piece either in a directing class or something. You had like 1 minute to do something on the stage. And I made a series of pieces called Things from My Pants. And I would walk out and the lights would come up and I would pull out like a cord, and then I pulled out an iron, and then blackout. And then I remember the third thing, it was in Comedy in Threes. I don't remember what the second thing was. It was Safe for Work. The third thing was I wanted to pull out, my friend had a kitten, and I was like, I wonder if we can put the kitten I had MC Hammer pants on in a bag. It didn't work, and I had to do something else. Because wouldn't that be amazing, though? Like you children just pull a live animals. Kitten. Just children, animals, a live kitten. All that is to say, yes, it's devised work, and it's a glimpse into how my brain, I agree with you, Benjamin. I like hearing that. Hopefully there's an effort for people like that. You make short films, you make dances on TikTok, you write plays, you get your friends together and make things. And I wish I'd started sooner and embraced that title as writer, creator earlier.
So when you graduated from Webster and you arrived in New York City, did you only identify as an actor? You're like, I'm going to be on Broadway and
totally. That was my dream and audition, and it didn't happen, but happily I did. I would have my dance bag and my chapstick and my dance belt, my bags, and slept on friends' couches and futons. And when I wasn't booking anything on Broadway, I loved working regionally, and I very happily worked in a lot of great regional theaters, and I worked everywhere as much as I could. I got paid some, I got paid none. But the great thing about that, as you know too, is A, I loved working, I loved learning. And a lot of those directors, choreographers, actors I worked with they come back in your life in different capacities. And directors that were doing something regionally, then you're like, oh, they kind of worked their way up, and then they came up in the ranks with us all. So, but I wasn't identifying as a writer.
So what was that transition point then? Was it just something you fell into, the like meeting Jeff and creating together?
Yeah,
and
a little
Susan
bit.
And creating together, it just sort of evolved?
I think it was that. I mean, I'd always written, but it didn't kind of self-identify. I'd written like plays and one acts and done little shows with my puzzling obsession, as we know from title of the show, with my brother, and made like movies. You know, my aunt had a video camera and we make short films and two long films and make my grandma come down and watch us do plays in the basement as she changed the laundry over. So I was creating that kind of stuff, but I sort of put it away to be like musical theater. Right. And then when I met Jeff and Susan was part of a duo, comedy duo called the New Wonder Twins, and they would do a show downtown at PS122 called Avant-Garde-Rama, and Jeff wrote music for them, and I was a backup Sparkle Vision dancer. And again, it was this creative playground and explosion of they were making the work themselves. And I loved it. And then Jeff and I did an adaptation of 9 to 5 that we didn't get the rights for, never did. But it taught us just don't wait for permission, just go make stuff.
Wow, that's a t-shirt right there.
Right. It is true.
Did you always see yourself performing those works, or not necessarily, didn't matter?
I think not necessarily, didn't really matter. I think we had the skill set as performers and I enjoyed it and thought I was pretty good at it. And I think with the title of show stuff, it was just convenient to do that. You didn't have to hire somebody or pay somebody. You're like, well, we'll do it. So, and then it kind of became a self-referential thing. And as the show depicts in its meta journey, that we played ourselves, or versions of ourselves at least, and that became part of its uniqueness and success, I think.
Was it scary presenting yourself to the world as a writer? You're not a person I associate with fear.
Yeah, at times, I think I was just either so, blind by either ambition or excitement to be performing, and that there's a vulnerability in that. Like, I hope people like this and it goes well. But again, right. The special sauce with Title Show was, you know, Susan Blackwell always said, like, I knew I was in a room with my friends. I didn't know the friends was an elevator kind of going up to new adventures and opportunities. Uh-huh. And so we were kind of protected in the shell of like, we were just having a blast and going for it. And it's something I hold on to of like, those collaborators were dear friends and people I loved and respected. So to be in the room that had a protective shield, I mean, you were part of it and had a front row seat to it, that it sort of made me more fearless than I think I would be in other opportunities, or maybe had been up to that point. I've been more scared to kind of present things.
So then when you and Jeff and Susan were building Title of Show, was there any resistance sort of from, I don't know, your agents perhaps, that they were like, but you're doing great as a performer. Like, I don't know about this writing thing. Was there any resistance to it?
No, quite the opposite. In fact, a shout out to Mary Harden and Harden Curtis, my team, and was there. Mary since retired, but I was with her for decades. And, you know, I was with them as an actor. And I said, Mary, I'm working on this thing. Would you come see a reading of it? When we did it like at Manhattan Theater Source, when Laura Camion produced it. And it was literally in a teeny room with folding chairs. And Mary Harden and Nancy Curtis came down. So grateful they came in and saw this. And afterwards they're like, why didn't you tell us? Like, why did you hold your cards so close? It's like, I don't know. I didn't know. And they're like, and Mary was so great. And she was like, there's something here. She's like, this is very special and we're on to something here. And they supported it and lifted it up and helped drive it with others all the way to Broadway. I'm so grateful. Like but it's weird. I did have, it's funny, fear. So I don't know what I was afraid of like that it would, I don't know what was holding me back from coming out of being a writer about it, but something. I'm glad I did.
We all are. And then, like, after Title of Show was on Broadway in 2008 at the Lyceum, were you still pursuing performing work, or did you just shift focus? Because I know things started to take off for you and Jeff. You wrote for Disney. Like writing projects presented themselves to you. Was it something that you actively pursued, or was that something that you were just like, oh, let's do this. This is what's happening right now.
I think it did change our lives in terms of like opening doors and opportunities. And I think I was just open to try things. And I did some acting stuff after, but I loved the writing, but I was open to adventures. And then the writing was a big thing too. And so Jeff and I kind of leaned into the writing and other opportunities. And then Now Hear This kind of came as a companion piece too, of like playing ourselves too. So again, we were interested in generating, per the topic of today, our generating work for ourselves.
But I'm just sort of fascinated because I don't know what performing you're doing now.
Not much, except in my living room and shower when I lip sync for my life.
And is that conscious? I mean, like,
Shantae, I say, I think Michael, before my performing agents, always jokes. He calls and is like, just, this is my yearly check-in to see if you're available. And a lot of times it's just about scheduling. So if the right thing happened or some cool adventure, I'm open to the universe of things. I won't close any doors. In the same way I talk to like a lot of young people, things of like, especially making their own work about this too, who identify as actors. And I'm like, show of hands, does anybody write? Do they want to write? And people are tentative. And they're like, I'm not a writer. I was like, I don't know. Like, let's not, feels a little early to box yourself in. I respect if you're like, that's not my jam. But if you, just from my own experience, putting limiting labels on yourself, especially when you're starting out, why do it? And I'm so inspired and stand on many shoulders, but I look at the Lin-Manuels of the world, the Bob Martins, the Cole Escolas, the, you know, folks whose work I just love. And I was like, yeah, write things for yourself and put it out there and go for it. So
yeah. Yeah. Is that the nugget of advice that you give actors who have maybe like,
I do. I think if you have, yeah, like if you have any itch or scratch of, especially now, like you say, in between and waiting for a phone call or an email, I just think now more than ever, it's such a fun, wild, wild west of platforms through either social media. Everybody's got a camera and editing kind of technology. I'm like, well, it's bonkers, and sometimes it's for the powers of good, and sometimes it's for the powers of not good. But the good part is the ability to make things and put it out in the world. So not only do you not need permission, you can put something, we can go and shoot a film and put it, or a short or a song. And that's the part I love about this moment of creativity. So the answer is like, don't wait for permission. And if you're fortunate enough to have a phone and a laptop, I'm like, go make something and, or get your friends together and put on a show, like a barn and a sewing machine. I just think now more than ever, you can. I think of, again, people I admire, Quinta, who does Abbott Elementary, you know, started putting stuff online on YouTube. And yeah. and then you just don't know of like those, the Golden Palace piece that Susan may, you know, for now hear this, of like thinking like the people that have that are touched by hands of special angels. And they're just awesome working people who embrace vulnerability and took a chance and went for it.
Speaking of like alternative content, one thing that I can't help but think about is before Title of Show went to Broadway, there was a little thing called the Title of Show Show, which yeah. was this scrappy YouTube.
Can you believe we did that?
I think you were channeling the future, because that's what people do now.
Yeah, I think I'm so proud of it. I loved it. It still makes me laugh. I shout out to Matt Vogel, who I'd gone to college with, an amazing Muppeteer, and Kermit the Frog. Let's drop that famous frog. But nice. I'd gone to college with Matt, and he was integral in that. Michael Barres directed that. Jennifer Tepper, John Kasauskas, we put together this team. And again, it started as just like fun with friends, putting together these episodes of how are we going to fill our time creatively in between either waiting for a theater to open up on Broadway or hoping that, you know, it was part marketing, part creative expression. And people would always ask like, oh, that was so amazing at marketing. I was like, well, we kind of were just like going for it. And shout out to Kevin McCollum, who was like, you crazy weirdos, like what is happening?
Here's a camera in the corner of my office.
Yeah. Like, please don't take anything. And we did spin the Tony Award while he wasn't looking, but you know, like gave a playground for us to play and make stuff. And I look back at that time and I'm so grateful. Like we just kind of went for it. Yeah. But that was that was pre TikTok on the beginning ends of Twitter and things like that. And it was just fun. I mean, that's the component too. Like when you say about that joy, we would stay up till 2 a.m. and then Matt would stay up till even later editing. And then we roped in and had Mindy a puppet, and we'd pull you guys in, you and Courtney Ballin. And like, then we'd go make Jonathan Groff be in it and, you know, just recruit people to come do crazy, dumb stuff. And
Cheyenne
we loved
Jackson,
it.
I arrested. Who did I arrest?
Megan Hilty and Allison Janney and Stephanie
Allison
Block.
Janney, I arrested Allison Janney.
Yeah. But turns out the mask came off and it was. You also played Dr. Mentoring, yeah, which is, I quote today, paging Dr. Mentoring, right? Was that your character? Your audience is going to be like, what nonsense is this? But there was a gameness and a freedom and a fun.
Link to it, yeah.
Yeah. It was creative and fun. And again, it was just a reminder of like, nobody sat us down and was like, here's what you should do with this free time. And I'm inspired when I see people on the social medias your Mitch Woods, you know, like the folks that are like just Tyler Joseph Ellis, like people that are just like so funny and just like using the medium for humor and smartiness. I love it.
As a performer, I find that we often put ourselves in a position of feeling like there's a chance that I am not good enough, that I'm going to be rejected by this casting process. Does that shift once you start to take control of the work that you're creating? Or do you still grapple with sort of a sense of rejection in a way?
I think it does shift a little bit. At least it shifted for me. I can speak on that, I guess, of when you kind of pull back and you're in rooms and you see how sausage is made in a different way. From it gives certainly perspective of how things come together. But sometimes it shifted off the... took off blinders when I was an actor. I was kind of, which you're allowed to do, like thinking about me and how I fit in the puzzle too. And this just gave you, you know, as a writer, I kind of shifted back and I'm like, you see all these elements and you're part of this whole collective. And it brought about new perspective, empathy, understanding of, not that like I'm just a cog in a wheel, actually the opposite of like, you're part of this whole ecosystem of creativity. And so it made it feel less scary when I went into acting situations. I just had an awareness of everything in the room in a different way. Right. That kind of either empowered me or let me relax a little bit too, because of like, it's not about you right now, you know, and that the fear of like, am I doing it wrong? Is this kind of thing like, newsflash, they're not even thinking about you, not even in a mean spirited way, but there's like 50,000 things going on and they're like, we love you. You're doing amazing. We're just trying to figure out this other thing right now. And thank you for being an awesome actor. And you, I mean, you know, like I think about you when I work with New York. I'm like, oh, I love having a Benjamin House in there because you kind of get it. You get the, you get what the moment needs. And then when the spotlight goes on you, you're like, I knock it out of the park. But also just that when you see us sweating bullets or like, what is this moment? There's a generosity, if that makes sense too. So I don't know if I answered the question or not.
No, but I loved the rabbit hole we went down.
I know, it was some crazy rabbit hole. But yeah, it shifted my perspective and I loved being in rooms. And that, I think it gave me more confidence.
So what are the other things that you wish actors knew about building their own work, about building and creating?
I think it does change. I think it empowers folks too, because you also have knowledge of the process. And so it creates, it just gives you more information of how things are put together and how things work and how rooms work. And so I think it creates a perspective and empathy. So yeah, the thing is, A, just do it, just stop talking about it and do it as everybody. And that's can be a long block to walk between the idea and filled with all kinds of vampires and things. But so do it, put it out there. It's going to be scary. It's going to be vulnerable. They're going to be vampires swarming, but there is gold and then there are hills afterwards. And find awesome creative collaborators like you and others who you want to be in a room with and have fun. And I think I'm at an age now and enough therapy too of like kindness, joy, gratitude. I know it sounds buzzy, but I like those things in a room right now.
You talked a little bit about vampires. Are there some regular visitors even today that you still grapple with? Because I feel like in the show we talked a lot about, you know, imposter syndrome, perfectionism, and those sorts of things. Are they still frequent visitors, or are they, or you know how to deal with them?
Yeah, they're totally frequent visitors and ask me on a different day, get a different answer. You know, some days I'm like, I got this. I'm going to take the world by storm, throw my hat in the air. And then there are other days I'm like, I'm going to be under the quilt. Hunter, nobody wants to hear this kind of stuff. But again, the more I stick around and the more I can kind of have a folder of evidence of success and fun and joy, then I kind of try and click on that and be like, can't prioritize the negative too much, as my therapist would say. I'm like, okay, we're going to do a reading. The industry's here. I'm nervous as hell, but I've done this before.
Left armpit sweating.
See, it is, even still to this day. That still happens. you know, like I was like, I know this routine. I know these feelings. I know the vulnerability, and I didn't keel over, I survived, you know? And
I also love the evidence file of success. Yeah. You know, the evidence file of success is another helpful tool to
absolutely
have that handy to dip into.
And also great collaborators. I lean on lifting someone up if they're having a down day and I'm like, you got this. Or if I'm like,
Community is it, man.
To the theme of the day, it is a testament of like, well, how do you get in those rooms? If you take swings and you take risks that you don't know the outcomes with, but hopefully you just try things and you find like-minded people who want to make stuff. And that's what I say to people, to start sooner than later and do it in spite of being afraid too.
Thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm so, so grateful.
I like it. Thanks for asking me to be, I feel like when Kelly Ripa has a friend co-host on, or, you know, like, or Matt Rogers is on the Today Show. So, I am honored to be with you, and I'm just glad I have an excuse to look at you and be a part of
it. I know,
of the
right?
Podcast.
Actually, just for a minute.
Are you a
person who would love for our listeners to follow you on social medias?
I'm on Instagram. I don't post as much. I lurk. I used to be on TikTok, and I was addicted to it completely. And I was like, ugh, I'm consuming more than I'm making, so I had to step away because, like, I wasn't good with the balance. My addictive, like, ADHD, like, kind of brain. It was like scrolling. I'm like, it's 3:30, and I took a journey. And I love it. I love all the trends. And so I'm not at the moment.
Excuse yourself for the TikTok room.
just for, I'm sure I'll come crawling back for whatever nonsense is on there.
But on Instagram, you're Hunt Bell, right?
I'm Hunt Bell, and I lurk more than I post nowadays. A lot of because I'm some NDA stuff too, so I just can't post about what I'm
working on. I was going to say, you're creating in other platforms.
But I will lurk, and I love looking at puppies and shirtless guys and drag queens. And
that is my feed. That is exactly when you go to my search bar, that's what shows up. Shirtless guys and drag queens. Yes.
And a puppy and a shirtless guy next to a drag queen holding a puppy. So like, that's perfect, the algorithm world is listening.